As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Yo, yo, welcome to another episode of the Forum Club. I am your co-host, Jovan Buha, Lakers beat writer for The Athletic. And the Lakers crushed the Houston Rockets 117-100. On Tuesday night, improving to 2-0 in Houston, 9-3 overall, best record in the league. And this final score was not as close as it indicates. This was a game that the Lakers were up by 20, 25, 30 points for most of it. The Rockets were able to kind of trim the lead there in the fourth quarter, outscoring the Lakers by 9. But just another dominant performance. To me, this was clear that the Lakers have taken what Anthony Davis said to heart after the San Antonio loss. This was back-to-back dominant performances defensively. My favorite two figures from the two performances is the Lakers combined for 23 steals and 20 blocks. So I call that the 2020 club, and it rarely happens. And looking at this year's team, going back to last season, looking at two game stretches, there was three different times where the Lakers combined for 23 or more steals over a two game span, and zero times that they combined for 20 blocks over a two game span. This season, they've done the 23 or more steals three different times, and now the 20 or more blocks once. So for all the people that have been criticizing the defense, which was number two heading into tonight's game, I haven't checked. I'm going to guess maybe they're number one, but probably number two. But for all the people that were criticizing the defense, this defense has been as good, if not better, than last season's. I asked Frank Vogel about the defense pregame, and he said that he thinks they're further ahead right now than where they were at this point last season. And he attributed that mainly to a lot of the guys being returning guys from last year's championship team and having a second year in his scheme and having just another year to implement things and tweak some things. But he was saying that he thinks Marc Gasol and Montrezl Harrell have fit in well, as I recently wrote in my State of the Lakers, which if you haven't read that yet, you should definitely check that out. That's going to be my 10-game check-in on the team with 10 observations, takeaways, thoughts, stats, breakdowns. So I got into a bunch of things with that. But one thing that I wrote about was that the rim protection this season has actually been better statistically. The Lakers' defensive field goal percentage allowed at the rim and within 5 feet of the rim, which basically you would consider that rim protection, their defensive field goal percentage is actually lower this season than last season. And after this game, not only is it lower, they're allowing fewer attempts, which is just as important because, if you're allowing more attempts at a lower percentage, it might even out in terms of points in the paint allowed, layups allowed, those types of things. But they're allowing a lower percentage and fewer attempts. And after tonight, they're actually averaging more blocks this year than they did last season. 6.7 a game this season, 6.6 last year, which was best in the league. They're now up to third in the league this year. So, there are some concerns with the defense. I think it's been mainly effort-based more than anything. But as we've seen in the last two games, and I don't think the Rockets are that good. And I don't know if you guys have, you know, by the time you're hearing this, have seen James Harden's post-game comments where he basically publicly gave up on the team and you know, reaffirmed his trade request. You know, so this Rockets team is a mess. They've got chemistry issues. They've got just guys who clearly don't want to be there. I thought Harden was clearly mailing it in at times in both games, but really in that second game, like it was bad. I felt like there were times he'd have a lane, he would just kick it out or dribble it out. He was definitely not trying defensively, not getting back in transition. And it was just clear to me that he was mailing it in. So, you know, the Rockets aren't like the world beaters that they used to be, but this is a team with NBA talent, you know, especially offensively. You got James Harden, a top two MVP finisher at, what, 5-6 years now? Christian Wood, who I think is looking like a potential fringe all-star candidate with his 20-10 every night. John Wall, who I think has gotten back to, you know, a respectable level given how much time he's missed and how many injuries he's had. So, you know, Eric Gordon, PJ, like this team has, you know, high level rotation type players that they aren't the worst team in the league. So for the Lakers to go in there on the road, dominate them the way that they did, really putting away both games before halftime, like this to me was, you know, definitely the best two game stretch of the season, probably the best two games of the season back to back. I think tonight was better than Sunday, but it was close, and you know, they technically won by one more point on Sunday, but you know, just overall, you know, nothing but I think positive things to say after these two games. And it's not going to last, right? Like, you know, the Lakers are going to come back down to earth in some regard. You know, they're going to have a stinker here and there. There's going to be a game or two where they don't try as hard, but I think for fans that are freaking out or too worried about certain things, you know, especially with the defense, like, I think you got to go back and watch these two games and see what this team's defensive potential is. Because it's not just, again, it's not just the personnel, the opponent, who they're playing. A lot of it is just, you know, their personnel and what they're capable of doing. And, you know, they had 10 steals tonight. That easily could have been 15 to 20 with how many deflections they had and how many balls they weren't able to recover in those instances. Like, you know, I'd love to see what their deflection number ends up being, which, you know, NBA.com/stats will have that. But I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the play of the game, which was with about 7 minutes and 45 seconds left in the second quarter. LeBron James camped himself in the left corner in front of the Lakers bench. And as he was spotting up to catch a pass, I believe from Markieff Morris, Dennis Schroeder, you know, sitting behind him, challenged LeBron and said, "I bet you can't make this shot," you know, and as LeBron caught the ball, he, you know, stone-faced with all the resolve in the world, actually kind of waited for Ben McLemore, who was on the receiving end of some highlights tonight, the wrong end, you know, of some highlights tonight, waited for him to get closer, kind of head faked him, shot the ball, and did the Steph Curry-esque turnaround midair as the ball is going up, turns and faces the Lakers bench, says "bet" to Dennis Schroeder, and the shot goes in, you know, swishes, and he just runs down the court as the Lakers bench goes insane with probably the celebration of the year, the best one I've seen at least. And Dennis was in the middle of it going nuts. And I was honestly surprised the Lakers didn't get a delay of game warning, because they literally had like five guys run onto the court. And especially now with everything going on with the masks and the concern, like, I just felt like they were going to get a delay game warning, but they didn't. But that was an awesome play. It immediately went viral. LeBron was asked about it after the game, and he just said that, "Hey, you know, a bet, you got to look someone in the eyes." And he challenged me. He wanted to bet. And, you know, so I turned around and bet him as the ball was in the air. So that was a really cool moment. I think that's another all-time highlight for LeBron in, you know, a career of dozens of those, hundreds of those. But that one, to me, was one of the coolest ones I've seen from him, because obviously if there's ever been, you know, a quote unquote weakness in his game or not the strongest part of his game, it has been his shooting. And he's developed into such a good shooter over the past, you know, 5 to 10 years. Even post game, Frank Vogel said he thinks he's probably the best shooter on the team. I don't know if I would agree with that. I think KCP, Wes Matthews, one of those two guys is probably the best shooter on the team. But Frank was saying that's why LeBron gets that green light to take those logo shots that he loves to take, you know, at least like once a game. So that about settles it for me. AD had five blocks. That's notable. He's been on a shot blocking tear. Dennis, KCP, and Trez each had 14 points. You know, they all played well. I just thought, again, this was another complete effort. This game was over before halftime. They were up by 23 points at halftime. And it felt like it could have been 30-35, and they continued to build that lead in the third. And it was just an all-around dominant performance. To me, their best performance of the season. And we'll see how they play in OKC. But regardless of that outcome, you know, that's a game they should win. AD jammed his toe. We'll see if he plays. Frank Vogel said he'll be questionable. Wes Matthews is also going to be out with his Achilles injury. But Vogel said it's not serious. He'll be reevaluated on Thursday. But, you know, regardless of what happens in the OKC game, even if it's a bit of a letdown, I think, you know, fans should take solace in these two games, these two performances, and just a reminder of how dominant this team can be and how when they turn it on, they're the best two-way team in basketball and just the best team in basketball, period.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
But now let's get into the open forum section of the podcast. Let's get into a couple of questions here. Would really love some James Harden questions because that press conference. Okay, if the playoffs, so we got here Harry Howard at HHJR79. The playoffs started today. What would the rotation be? How many deep and how many minutes? Let's say they play Warriors, Suns, Clippers, 76ers. I like you picking the 76ers to make the finals there. Well, Harry, it's tough to say. I do think that the starters might switch depending on the matchup. I think that Mark could play against the Warriors. So, you know, to recap, you said Warriors, Suns, Clippers, Sixers. I think Mark could play against the Warriors, although they'd probably hunt him with Steph, so maybe not. Suns, I think he'd be okay. You know, Booker and CP love to pull up in the mid-range in the pick and roll. Ayton can pop, but he will probably operate more in that mid-post area. So I think that matchup would probably be fine for Mark. Clippers, I think he could play against Zubats in the second unit. I think the Serge Ibaka lineup is going to be tough for him. And then Sixers, I think he could play against Joel Embiid. So where I was going with that is that I think you might see them switch the starters depending on the series. I think it would probably be Markieff Morris starting in place of Marc Gasol. So maybe against the Warriors, Markieff starts, or at least they give Mark a game or two before they bring him off the bench. Against the Suns, Mark probably starts. Against the Clippers, maybe Keith starts. And then against the Sixers, they go back to Mark. But aside from that, I think it's the starters plus Trez, Markieff, Alex, and then, you know, it's really tough to narrow this down because, I could see the matchups in which it's tough for Mark. It's actually probably going to be tough for Trez too because I think they both, any matchup you're going to target, you know, Mark in the pick and roll, I think you could target Trez in the pick and roll. Like, you know, Trez, as someone who's watched him go up against Steph Curry in a playoff series and has watched him go up against him many times, that is not a great matchup for Trez. So I could see like them, if they're playing the Warriors, maybe Mark and Trez are both kind of benched or in limited roles. And you're just seeing a lot of AD at the five, Keith at the five, a lot of Kyle and LeBron at the four. And that's kind of how they disperse the minutes. So it's tough to say, you know, I guess matchup by matchup, I think it'll change. And again, so maybe against the Warriors, it's that where maybe Mark is out of the rotation. Trez is playing 10 to 15 minutes and the rest of the minutes are Keith, AD, Kyle, and LeBron in that 4-5 zone. You know, that's where you go with Keith as the starter. And then off the bench, you're going Kuz, Wes, Alex, and maybe a little bit of THT here and there, depending on if someone is in a shooting slump or getting exposed defensively or in foul trouble or something. Then the Suns, I think you go back to a more traditional Mark and Trez, and you know maybe THT and Wes or THT and Kyle get squeezed out of the rotation. Clippers, I think it's probably more like the Warriors where you're going to go a little bit smaller. But that's I think a big series for Kyle. I think that's a big series for Markieff. I think that's a big series for Wes. Like that, those 2 through 4 positions, those are really going to be important, I think, against the Clippers. And then against the Sixers, that's a really big team. So that's where you're going to need that size of Mark and Trez and Keefe. And, you might see some bigger lineups where it's Wes and KCP in the backcourt and, you know, more like last season's team. But also maybe they try to space out the Sixers and go 80 at the five against Embiid, you know, double Embiid on the block and, you know, try to stretch him out defensively. So it's so early to kind of make some of these calls. I mean, this is just kind of me riffing off the top of my head. I am interested in all of these potential matchups, and I think this is a relatively realistic playoff path. I think the Sixers, I'd probably put Milwaukee ahead of them, and maybe Brooklyn and Boston when at full health, full strength, but you know there's no assurances of that this season. Sixers in the mix. I they're a team to me that I have to see it before I fully believe it. But that would be my first crack at the rotation. From Aaron LeBron at Barnes 12. The plan is for LeBron to play tomorrow on another back-to-back against OKC. Do you think LeBron is trying to push for MVP and play every game instead of load manage? Seems like it would be a perfect chance to rest your 36-year-old star. I think he is planning on playing every game. I'm sure there will be a few games here and there that he ends up resting if the medical staff deems it, hey, your workload has been too much. But I think one of the things that the Lakers have done quite well has been managing his minutes in game. And we've seen stretches, tonight he only ended up playing, I want to say 29 minutes. Yeah, he ended up playing 29 minutes. So that is a win, not 34, 35, 36. I keep referencing like the Clippers game where he ended up not playing the final 8 minutes of that game. And the Lakers have been strategic with it where it's, if LeBron doesn't have to go back in, LeBron's not going to go back in. Like tonight, he sat the whole fourth quarter, or I think most of it. I just think they're being smart about it, where, hey, LeBron wants to play every game or most games. We'll let him do that. We're going to respect that. That's his wish. But we're going to limit his minutes when we can. And, we're not going to put him back in. We have the depth. We have guys like Trez and Kuz and THT who can come in and score and keep the game competitive offensively and not have to overload LeBron with minutes and workload. And I think that is one of the things that is going to pay dividends for this team. And as far as the MVP, like I'm sure LeBron wants to win it. You can make the case he has 4. He could have 6 or 7. He definitely could have won it last year. I think he should have won it the year that Derrick Rose won it. That year, he might have even been third that year behind Dwight. But LeBron has definitely left some MVPs on the table, and that's not his fault. That's on voters. But I think he's going to be in the mix. That was one of the things I wrote in State of the Lakers. It's going to be between him and AD. If you really look at the field, I think James Harden is playing and talking and acting with some of his off-court stuff, his way out of the MVP race. I think Giannis Antetokounmpo with back-to-back flameouts in the playoffs or just underachievements in the playoffs, I don't see him winning a third straight MVP. Like he'd probably have to average 40 and 15, which maybe he could do that, but it's not doing that so far, and I just don't think that's going to happen. And then you kind of look at the rest of the field, and you're like, okay, well, Luka, how good is Dallas going to be? Are they, if they're in the top 4, maybe, but if they're in the bottom 4 of the West in terms of playoff picture, like 5 through 8, I don't know. Is that a good enough seed? Nikola Jokic, Denver's barely struggling to stay 500 right now. If they end up in the bottom 4, I don't see that either. Then you got Jason Tatum, Joel Embiid. Like, I think those guys could be in it. Embiid, it's always a games health thing. Tatum is now missing a couple weeks in the health and safety protocol. So we don't know how that's going to affect him. And then Steph Curry, the Warriors have been playing well. He will be in the mix. But to me, the Lakers are going to be probably the one or two seed in the West. I'd be shocked if they weren't. And you got to think LeBron or AD is going to be in that mix. You know, as of right now, I would lean LeBron. AD's already missed a couple games. His stats haven't been at LeBron's level. So I would probably lean LeBron. And we see it all the time where voters are a year late on this stuff. And the guy who should have won the year before ends up winning the next year, deservedly so, or maybe not deservedly so. We could go back and forth on who should have won LeBron, Giannis. I think if you looked at the bubble part of things, obviously, LeBron deserved it. If you went pre-bubble, Giannis had the edge. So, they probably got that right, but I would not be surprised if year 18, LeBron is putting up similar stats and he gets his fifth MVP because it's like, no one has done this in year 18 at age 36. So final question, let's pick a good one here from Dominic, at Dom X Villanueva _. Is the Rockets just a really bad team or the Lakers just figured some things out and finally flipped the switch? I think it's a combination of both, but I think it's more the latter than the former. As I said, I think Houston has a lot of talent, especially offensively. This is a team that if James Harden bought in, I think could be a 7 or 8 seed in the West. I wouldn't put them any higher. I think 7 seed's probably their ceiling, but this could be a playoff team in the West. I think they have enough depth and talent to do that. But this to me was just more about the Lakers, to a man, everyone said post game, this has been the best defense of the season. This has been what they've wanted to do, the level they've wanted to reach. And, they can still play better. There were still breakdowns. There's still things they can learn from, that they're going to watch film on this and learn from it. But, I think this was as close to their ceiling, at least at this point in the season, as we've seen. And, that's important. That's good to see because, I think sometimes there's a negative connotation with flipping the switch. And, it's on one hand, you can say, well, you're not building consistent habits. You're not, having that continuity and that consistent dominance. But I think on the other hand, you could also look at it as well, when they do flip the switch, and we've seen the Lakers do it, and they've proven they can win, when the switch is on, you're just kind of reaffirmed of how good a team is. And that to me is what these two Houston games have been, is just a reaffirming that the Lakers are the best team in the league. And until a team, barring an injury or a COVID related, absence, I just don't see how there's a team out there that beats this team at full strength. Now maybe someone makes a big move around the trade deadline. Maybe there's a buyout guy that swings a team. We can't tell the future. Maybe there's not even an end to the season. I don't even know at this point. But I think as things are currently constructed, they have the best record in the league. They're top five on both ends. They've been dominant, frankly, on both ends. The story really heading into the last couple of games is they've been better offensively than defensively, despite the metrics kind of saying the defense was better. So to me, this night was more about the Lakers figuring things out, being on a string defensively, rotating, wreaking havoc, playing passing lanes, getting deflections, blocking shots, just being active, energetic, and connected defensively. So again, two great performances. And I think this is something the team could build off of, but also something for fans to kind of take some solace in of knowing, hey, this is how good this team is. Anybody freaking out, again, don't worry. But thank you guys so much for listening to tonight's episode. As always, if you have any questions, comments, anything, feel free to hit me up on Twitter or Instagram at Jovan Buha, JovanBuha, or in the Athletic comment section. I do my best to try to respond to as many comments as possible. That's actually probably the most effective way to interact with me, but I do try to respond on Twitter as well. So thank you guys again. I'll be back after the OKC game and talk to you then.